Welcome to Tardi Mecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be learning Yeshayahu, Parak 34. In the last parak, we learned how a foreign nation, who we explained was Sennacherib, an Ashur, will be destroyed after all they did to the Jewish people. The second half of the parak describes the Geula in more detail, and how it is Hashem alone who will bring the salvation. The parak described how people with Yiras Shemayim, fear of heaven, and moral character traits will merit being saved. In Parak 10, it described the miracle of Sennacherib's defeat. The following parak discussed the ultimate Geula as the miracle of Sennacherib was a precursor to the eventual times of Mashiach. In Parak 21, there was a masa against Bavel, and then according to most Mefarshim, there was a masa regarding Edom, who brought the next galus. The punishment of one indicates that the next will also be punished. This parak follows this pattern. In the last parak, we heard about the downfall of Ashur. Now we will turn our attention to the defeat of Edom before the final redemption. This parak talks to Edom, as well as to other nations that share its values, about their final punishment. Edom was a descendant of Esav and lived within the lands called Seir, which was a small country to the south of Israel. They hated Israel and fought them when they could, and also helped Bavel when they conquered Yerushalayim. The descendants of Edom eventually moved into the south of Israel, where they were called the Idumeans. In the times of the second Beit HaMikdash, the Hashmonaim conquered Idumea and forced them into slavery and conversion. One of these former slaves, Herod, brought the Romans into Israel and also killed many Jews, though he built up the second Beit HaMikdash into a beautiful temple complex. In addition, the Pirkei de Rabbi Elezer says that one of Edom's children listed in the Torah, Magdiel, was the ancestor of Rome. Although Rome and Edom no longer exist, their influence is still felt in our culture. The anti-Semitism we feel in the West is a vestige of the hatred of Edom that they have shared with modern society. This parak describes how those who choose and have chosen to act on this hatred and anti-Semitism will be punished. Rav Schwab tells us that this parak and the next had a special place in German liturgy. There is a halacha that one may not learn anything on Tisha B'Av except the parts of the Torah that deal with the Chorban. Yet, in German synagogues, they would say this parak and the following parak after the kinos, the dirges, on Tisha B'Av morning. Rav Schwab suggests that perhaps reading this parak of consolation was necessary for German Jewry, as they did not just read the kinos, they lived them. They were oppressed with taxes and killed by crusaders. We still read kinos about the murder of whole German communities. On Tisha B'Av morning, after hearing the description of their lives, the people became very depressed. This parak was perhaps read to give the people the hope that this galus would eventually end. Rav Schwab asked the question about how we can understand this parak. It describes what he calls a bloodbath of the other nations in heaven. But what about all the other nations over time who have tormented us? What will be their punishment? Rav Schwab answers that though the perpetrators of evil have since died, their bodies have decayed, and their empires are now in ruins, their souls are waiting in heaven for their final punishment. Every evil act that has been committed to a Jew, because he is a Jew, over the last thousands of years will be punished. Only at the time of the fulfillment of this nevuah will we fully understand what it means and how Hashem has kept all his promises. The Das Sofrim tells us that this parak is another parak that is clouded in mystery. We do not really understand what the words mean or how they will come to be. This allows man to have free choice throughout history to choose not to be included in this group that will be punished. The parak begins in the times of Mashiach when Edom will be destroyed. Yeshayahu does not address this parak to just the Jewish people. He begins, Pasuk 1, Kirvu Gayim Lishmoa Ulumim Hakshivu. Come close nations to listen, and governments, pay attention. Yeshayahu is telling all the nations to actually pay attention. The Das Sofrim says this was not just a nevuah about the nations, like we had in the Masa'os, Prakim 13-23. This is a guide to how the nations can live. If they pay attention to the message, then life will be good for them. But if only the Jewish people listen to this message, then at least the Jewish people will recognize that what is happening in the world is part of Hashem's plan. What will happen, Pasuk 2? Ki ketzef Hashem al kol hagoyim v'chema al kol tzva'am. For Hashem is anger against all the nations and a fury against all their armies. The Radak says that Hashem will destroy all the nations who had a hand in oppressing the Jews, and he mentions in specific the governments of Ishmael, the Arabs. Hashem will destroy both Edom and Ishmael at the end of days. The primary method, he says, that Hashem will destroy them is by having their armies fight against each other. There will be a war on earth which will result in corpses and carcasses, and the mountains proverbially will melt from the blood that is spilled. If we read the Pasuk, it says that Hashem has anger against all the nations. The Das Sofrim says that this is a rare occurrence, that there are only certain points in history when we perceive that Hashem is angry, as generally he is slow to anger. At a certain point, there is so much evil that Hashem needs to stop the attribute of mercy and act with the attribute of justice. Though there will be battles on earth, that is not really where the battle is taking place. Rashi says that the battle on earth is only a reflection of what is happening in the heavens. Every nation is represented by malachim in heaven, and people also have an angel representing them. In order for the nations on earth to collapse, their angels, their heavenly supports, will have to collapse as well. Pasuk 4, B'namaku kol tzva hashamayim, and all the hosts of heaven will melt, V'nagolu chasefer hashamayim, and the heavens will be rolled together as a scroll. The angels will not have any more influence and will be as if they're rolled up and melted away. V'chol tzva'am yibal, and all of the hosts in heaven will wither. Only after Hashem completes this battle in heaven against the angels and the malachim, which we don't really understand, he will come to fight Edom to execute judgment. The Mincha Gedola says that Hashem is specifically coming to fight one segment of Edom. That is, not the entire Edom will need to be punished in this way. It is Amalek, whose philosophy and behavior undermines Hashem's presence in the world. The Malbim explains that the part of Edom that will be punished are those people who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. The defeat is described in the Psukim as Hashem's sword being full of the blood of animals. This slaughter is a metaphor for how the princes and officers of the nations will be killed. These leaders acted like animals throughout their lives, so they will be treated as such in their deaths. In specific, Psukim 6 and 7 mentions a number of locations that will be particularly targeted. The Psukim mention the slaughter in Batsra, which is a town that seems to be particularly evil, as it is also mentioned in Yirmiyahu and Amos, and it is associated with Edom. It mentions the land of Edom being destroyed and the land of the Re'emim, which Chazal say is Rome. This slaughter is not just happening at one time. The Das Sofrim explains that the slaughter being described includes all the wars throughout history. Just as the peace in the times of Mashiach will be divinely inspired, all war, though they may seem to be politically motivated and a natural outgrowth of human conflict to us, they have their roots in Hashem's master plan for humanity. Hashem is called Ish Milchama. He's the man of war. Hashem is orchestrating the wars in order to take place as they are needed to bring about the divine plan. This is happening because it is Pasuk 8, Ki Yom Nakam LaHashem. Hashem is destroying Edom because Hashem has a day of vengeance. People are commanded not to take revenge. The Torah says, Lo Sikom, Lo Sitor, a person should not take revenge, as when they take revenge, it's being driven by emotions and hatred. The Nakama of Hashem is completely different. The Nakama of Hashem is necessary as he brings justice to the world and makes it clear that justice is happening based on what people have done to the Jewish people. This allows the world to recognize that there is reward and punishment, and people must act according to what Hashem says, and that there is going to be a final judgment on all of humanity. In addition, this time when Edom is being destroyed is Shnas Shlumim LeRiv Tzion. It's a year of repayment for what has happened for the fighting against Zion. The greatest wrong that will need to be punished for the nations is that they destroyed Zion, the home of Hashem. The Mincha Gdola explains what is this year of Shilumim, of repayment. He says it is at this time that the world will once again be Shalem, whole. After the Jews left Egypt, Amalek were the first to attack them. Amalek, who descended from Edom and was mentioned before as the main object of Hashem's anger in this parak, wanted to minimize the miracle of the Exodus, and they wanted the other nations to have less fear of Hashem. they attacked Bnei Israel to cool off the excitement of the other nations that they felt after they heard about the splitting of the sea. Their attitude of trying to have people be less passionate about Hashem is antithetical to the purpose of the world. Chazal say that as long as Amalek exists, people do not perceive Hashem as being in control of this world, and therefore they do not feel obligated to serve him. In the times of the Torah, after the battle of Amalek, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ki yad al keska, that Hashem swore by his throne that he would eventually destroy Amalek. The name of Hashem in the Torah is, when it's associated with this war of Amalek, is written with only two letters, rather than the four full letter name. And the word for throne is written without an aleph. This abbreviation is meant to teach us that Hashem's presence in the world is diminished as long as Amalek is around. In our parak, when Edom is destroyed, and specifically Amalek will be destroyed, Hashem's name and throne will be restored. They will be shalem, it will be shilumim. It will be restored to its perfection, and the world will realize that everything is coming from Hashem. Yeshayahu describes the destruction of Edom as if the world will be on fire, with the streams turned to tar, the dust to brimstone, and the land itself burning. The land will be destroyed like Sodom and Amorah with its burning day and night. Pasuk 10, Midor ledor techarav, lenetzach nitzachim ein overba. From generation to generation it shall lie waste, none shall pass through it forever and ever. Rashi looks at these words where it describes that Edom will be destroyed from generation to generation and explains that this is teaching that the battle being waged is generational. This is a battle that is taking place throughout the history of the world. This battle against Amalek, the battle against the nation, as well as the ideals that this nation represents, has been fought throughout history. When Amalek first attacked, Moshe fought them by davening and Yehoshua led the battle. Next, Shaul killed out most of Amalek, but left a few alive in contradiction to the commands of Shmuel. Next, Mordechai fought against Haman, refusing to bow to placate him, which led to Haman and his 10 sons being hanged. The final battle will take place here, where Amalek and his ideas will be defeated once and for all. Pesukim 11 through 15 describes the utter desolation that will be found in the land. Pasuk 11, V'nata aleha kav sohu v'avnei vohu. He will stretch over it, over the land, a plumb line of emptiness and stones of nothingness. Edom will not just be destroyed. Hashem will plan for it to become utterly and miraculously desolate. The line and the stones are builder's tools that will be used to measure an area that will be made to be full of nothing. Rav Schwab says that it will resemble the tohu bavohu, the nothingness and emptiness that existed at the beginning of creation. There will be many layers of destruction that take place once Edom is destroyed. There was the ideals of Edom, there was a government, there was architecture, as well as the location. First, there will be no civilization or government that in from this place that had so much power. Pasuk 12, Choreha, its nobles, ve'en sham lucha yikra'u. None shall be there to be called to the kingdom. None of them are going to refer to themselves as leaders of this nation. V'chol sareha yu afes, and all of her princes are as if they are nothing. The entire government and aristocracy of Edom will be destroyed. Rather than being a civilization, Pesukim 13 through 15 describes the birds and animals that will live in the centers of this place that was so proud of its palaces and fortresses. The palaces and fortresses will be completely overgrown with thorns and nettles. They will be full of serpents and wild birds. All different kinds of wild animals, from those that come from the desert to those that come from the forests, will be attracted to come there. The Metzudas David says that even Shadim, demons, will gather there, as there will be no people in this location. There will be so many wild animals that, Pasuk 16, Yershu me'al sefer Hashem, upra'u. Seek out from the book of Hashem and read it. Achas mehena lo ne'ajara. Not one of them are left out. The Metzudas David says to go to Sefer Vayikra and read the list of all the animals mentioned in Parsha Shmini. Every single one of those non-kosher animals and non-kosher birds, which were birds of prey and animals that were predatory animals, will make their way to Edom to fulfill their part in its destruction. The Mahari Cross says that this is referring to another place in the Torah, that they should look in the part of the Sefer in the about the plague of Arov. All the animals in the plague of Arov came to destroy Mitzrayim. The Gruz says that these animals even brought with them their habitat so that they could survive in this new climate. At the time when the Egyptians needed to be punished, all the animals participated. This is going to be what it's like with Edom. When Edom needs to be punished, all the animals will come to bring about the plague on that nation. The Mishpatot Zahav says this is referring to yet another place in the Torah. When Noach built the Teva, Hashem called every animal to the Teva, and they all came with their mate. In the times of Mashiach, Hashem will again call them. Kifi hu tziva v'rucho hu kibtzan. For my mouth has commanded it, and its spirit has brought them together. This time, Hashem will call the animals together, and they will come not to be saved from destruction, which is why they went into the Teva, but they will come to drink the blood of the sons of Esav and to eat the carcasses, as Hashem commands. What's going to happen after the animals come to this new land? When the Jews were about to go into Israel, Hashem had Moshe divide up the land by lots so that each family knew they were getting the proper portion. In the time of Mashiach, it will be as if all the animals will be given specific pieces of land that Hashem has assigned by lots. Pasuk 17. V'hu hipil lahen garol. Hashem has cast lots for them. V'yado chilkata lahem bakav. And his hand has divided it for them with a measuring line. Ad olam yirashua. Forever will they inherit it. The animals who get a piece of land will live there forever. The dor vador yishkenu va. Generation to generation, they will live in it. In this parak, we read how there will be a bloodbath in heaven. All the angels of the nations that have hurt the Jews will be defeated. This is talking in specific about Edom and, according to the Mincha Gedolah, more specifically Amalek. This will allow these nations to be destroyed from the earth. When this happens, their lands will be taken over by wild animals who will live there forever. There is a lesson in this parak that we can learn about the end of days. Only Hashem can avenge the deaths of the Jewish people. We can protect each other, but we cannot become a culture focused on war and deciding how Hashem will punish those who are evil. To quote Rav Schwab, this nevuah, like so many others regarding the time of Mashiach or the end of days, is shrouded in mystery. We do not know what it really means, nor are we required to know now what it really means. The Jewish people is required only to learn the words of these nevuahs as part of Torah Shebaktav and retain them for posterity, so when these nevuahs are realized, everything contained in them will become clear. We will know at that time that every word of the Nevi'im came true and what each word means. In the meantime, let us do our part by negating the values of Amalek so that we can merit to see its destruction. Thank you for learning together, Le'iloi Nishmas Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bas Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.